Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Maras. Today we're joined by Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. As always, Mr. Mayor, welcome to the program.
Always glad to be here, Chuck. Appreciate you having me.
Well, I guess let's talk a little bit about city business. I know that, as we've talked about before, Main Street has been straightened. The traffic islands have been taken out with the trees, and how have the reviews been? Early reviews were good. Have they stayed that way?
They've stayed pretty consistently. We in a positive manner, I believe, if we haven't taken any kind of polls officially or unofficially, but of the ones I've talked to, it's not 100%, but I would say it's upwards of 90% approval. And once I talk to the 10% who may be not in favor of it and explain to them that our goal is to replace the trees eventually in large pots and put possibly flowers on the poles once we get the right ones to add that back in, then most of those, that 10% seems to be satisfied. There are some who just don't like change, and we understand that, but it's something that I think the reviews we have weren't just, they weren't just happy that we did it. We've had people who now are coming downtown who have lived here since it's happened and avoided downtown for that reason. We've had people who lived away who want to come back and see it. So maybe an unintended purpose is a tourism from people who used to live here. But so far, you know, the key things that we want people to realize is it didn't cost an arm and a leg to do. Everybody says, why are they spending hundreds of thousands? The money that was used for that was already allocated for paving that section of Morehead. About every 5 or 6 years, it goes on a rotation, and you pave certain sections, heavily traveled areas. And the money that's used for that, it comes from the municipal road aid fund from the state. So that money was allocated. We didn't have to raise taxes. We didn't have to take anything additionally out of our budget. And plus the painting, which was, you know, a lot of painting for that large of a strip of road, we got that from a $5,000 grant. So it didn't cost us any money in paving. And yes, we did use our own labor to do it. But again, that's our labor. We didn't have to hire anybody for the deconstruction. And something I want people to also realize, Chuck, is the fact that not only did we do that, but almost simultaneously, might have been a week in between, you know, there's been a great upgrade of much needed of the Newtown property down where you have the cinema and those other developments down there. You know, they invested in that place and invested in our town. That's brought a lot of tax dollars and a lot of travelers and a lot of different positive aspects to our town. So we thought the least we can do is help them with curb guttering and new pavement. So it's been a very active summer, and we feel like we're in good shape getting ready to go into the fall and winter.
In the straightening of Main Street, it also created parallel parking for the most part along that street. There were a few parallel spaces here and there, but it's pretty well all now parallel parking, and a lot of people don't like parallel parking. Have you had some complaints about that, or people saying, "Ah, well, I can do it"?
Well, there's been some people, again, tongue-in-cheek, saying, you know, I forgot how to parallel park. It's been 30 years since I've taken my driver's test. And I said, well, as far as I know, it's still on the driver's test. But if you notice from that section, which, again, is probably the most heavily traveled section in town between the Hargis and, of course, Pasquale's area there at the Bats and Oats, and which goes into Bridge Street, the old courthouse. But on the other ends of Morehead, out of that section, they've remained. They always have been parallel parking, and the majority of the spaces on campus are parallel parking. And when you go to other cities, they're parallel parking. So what we tried to do in anticipating that, one of the problems we had and concerns we had that were all time being brought to our attention, and if you drove downtown around a couple of those bends, you know it was a potentially dangerous situation. You had trucks that have, you know, full-size trucks, and if they have a trailer hitch on them, for example, they're over 20 foot. Those parking spaces that were diagonal were the minimum 20 foot, okay, in order to get as many in there. What we did, we took and made sure when we added these parallel parking spaces back, they were a minimum of 22 feet with the handicap spaces being 24. So with bigger spaces, we still gained 4 spaces, 2 of which we almost doubled our downtown handicap spaces. We only had three, which is all we were required to have in that section, and we added two. So overall, we think convenience, we think pedestrian convenience, we think attractiveness to come downtown. We think it's going to enhance the businesses that are down there. Let me tell you something. It was almost 100% businesses wanted it done this way that are existing. And we think if that happens, it opens it up, it's going to attract more, but also enhance the ones that are already there.
There has been discussion now for quite some time as to make Morehead more of a college town, to have that college town feel, to make it more pedestrian friendly, which the Main Street project was part of that. I know you put in the bike lanes and things of that nature.
The always stop, four-way stop.
Right, yeah, the always stop there. Is there a next step in this process in your mind?
There is. We want to continue to make it more attractive, but at the same time, we're not going to forgo safety over aesthetics. And when we say that, we're going to upgrade our crosswalks. Right now, they're the basic, except for the one that is, we called it our Morehead State steps to the campus. You know, the blue gold, that's been very popular with the students and their parents and other visitors that came in there in the square around Pasquale's area and the old courthouse that is now the Arts Center. But we're going to probably on a trial basis install the middle of the crosswalk signs that Morehead State has, because we're still getting a lot of crosswalks that are being ran. We've put signs up. We've put the neon yellow signs. We've put the "this is a state law" sign, but people just don't pay attention. However, it has gotten better from talking to the business owners who have patrons that crosswalk back and forth to their businesses with it being straight, because the line of sight's better. So we think it's going to be a natural enhancement by doing this. And one of the main reasons we didn't do it before, because of the way of the curvature of the road, with the islands, we couldn't use snow plows. It would have to tear those out. With it being a straight stretch, we have when the snow plows will run and those type of things, we feel like it's going to be plenty of room now. And so we're going to put those up, not at every crosswalk, but probably the most heavily traveled ones. And you do that on a test basis. Everything we do, obviously the street is not a test basis. We know that's going to be a permanent fix for quite a long time. But everything we do, we try to test out and try and see what is best for everyone. I mean, our goal is to drive more foot traffic, bike traffic, downtown business traffic, and make it more safe and friendly for pedestrians.
There's been some talk about Lyons Avenue. I guess this happened at City Council this week in regards to – it's a street that's very close to the downtown area, for those who don't know. Most people do who are listening probably right now. It's close to the downtown area. It's a residential area, a residential street with houses on it. But there's been some complaints that some of these houses have been purchased by people and turned into multi-person, almost apartment-like dwellings. And I guess there's a building being constructed on Lyons that will have, I think, 14 bedrooms, I believe I heard, if that's correct. And the concern is now this is zoned R1, which means single-family housing, but they're sort of fudging on that rule a little bit by what they're building is not necessarily single-family.
Well, based on talking to Joe Parson, who is our building compliance, and he's also our city engineer as far as looking at what can and cannot be built. And he looked at that very carefully. I mean, we knew this was going to be brought up. We knew it was coming. He spoke to our city attorney. We checked with other municipalities who have similar ordinances to ourselves. And, yes, it does fall within allowance of our ordinances with it being R1 now. Can you stay outside and take different views of it? Of course you can. You can take different views of about anything we have. And I understand the concerns, and the city council understands the concerns of the citizens that came and raised the issue that live up there. And it's a very narrow road. It's probably one of the more narrow streets we have in town. It's a dead-end street. It doesn't have a natural cul-de-sac. So you really have to, you know, when you go up and turn around, you have to really turn into private property to turn around. So this is halfway up, and it is a concern. We are looking at it. Council takes that very seriously. But, you know, I will tell you that everything that was done legally was done correctly, and we went through the process that we normally do. It's one of those things where is there latitude in some of these ordinances? Yes, there are. And that's one of those deals where maybe the ordinance needs to be reviewed again. Maybe it needs to be changed. Maybe there needs to be more strict guidelines instead of it being a little more broad. So, but as far as the way it's written now and the way it's interpreted by Joe Parson and it was interpreted by our attorney and we checked outside to other municipalities, it is something that is legal. Again, saying that doesn't mean we are not hearing the concerns of the
you kind of answered the next question I was going to ask you. Do you go back and look at your zoning codes and say maybe we need to rewrite, say, this R1 zoning statute?
I think that talking to our planning commission and talking to others that work within our zoning ordinances on a daily or monthly basis when things come up, I believe we all agree that they need to be looked at and overhauled, probably brought up, because when they were written, you had mostly single-family dwellings downtown. You've lived here long enough. You know now on a typical street, whether it's Wilson, whether it's Knapp, whether it's Lyons, whether it's, you know, Bays Avenue, you still have this, the houses are still there. It's just that they've either been purchased through the death of the original resident, or they've been sold by family, or the family's taken over and they've turned them into rental property. And when that happens, if you tell people that you can have three people staying there, again, we live in a college town, chances are there's going to be more than three people living in there on occasion. Well, for every person nowadays that lives in a residence, what? They have one car. Back in those days, back when those were written, you know, you had four people living in a house. They may all be family members, and you might have had two cars, mostly one. So you didn't have the parking on the street situations. You didn't have the, you know, they're parking in this space and not our space. This is
or on the yards.
Or on the yards. And, you know, it's one of those things where I really think that we need to take and do a full review on all of our ordinances and just try to bring them up to the times, meaning bringing up to what is common use now. What was common use then, they're perfect for it. But times have changed, and again, that's a lengthy process, but with something that we are looking at, council definitely wants to review that.
All right. Generally, we get a chance to talk about other things, too, that you're working on when you're on the program with me, and I know that one thing you continue to work on is the Public Safety Center, which would house your police and fire departments here in the city.
We have a meeting on it weekly. Mr. Parson and myself, Chief Anderson, who's our fire chief, and Chief Blevins. We don't necessarily meet with the two chiefs every week, but I guarantee you Joe and I have talked about it every week, literally, since I have been in office. And we think we have something, and we go through the process and get so far, and then it's not going to work for one reason or other. It's not enough space. It's not enough turnaround space. Too close to the road, not close enough to the road. Cost too much for the land. Can't have it because of overhead wires, because of a fire. So there's so many different things. I mean, it's just hard to explain to somebody that they think, well, surely you can find a piece of land, and you would think that. But there's so many factors that go in, especially when you're going to rebuild or retool a piece of land or piece of property so you can have a fire a station on it. The police station is not as bad because we can actually rebuild where we are, and that is one of the top choices right now, is to tear down the building they're in, which is the old.
You put them in a temporary home.
Put them in a temporary home, possibly the Carl Perkins Center or someplace else that we can make secure that we already own so we won't have to be out two costs. And then we could do that. The challenge is the fire department, because you want at least three to four bays. You would like for them to be at least a couple of them to be drive-through bays. All of them will be perfect. But then you have a ladder truck. And when you have a ladder truck, you can't do practice, you can't clean, you can't do things on your own property if you have overhead cables, overhead wires. You just can't do that. And it needs to be a minimum. There's insurance. There's codes and regulations where you have to be without so many feet of that. There's a turnaround radius. There's an access to Main Street access. There's so many different things that there's not just an ideal piece of property. We've had some that were close, and either they were too expensive or they weren't deep enough. So we are constantly looking, and we've got two or three right now that we're trying to vet out and get there. But it has just been – I thought we would have something done quicker than we have, and it's always been our goal. But there are so many factors that go into it that we just have to keep plugging along, and we'll find something eventually. We'll get something that works. But we're not going to rush into anything. We're not going to overspend taxpayers' money. We want it to be the best we can. We want it to be efficient. We want it to work. But we're not just not going to buy it, just to satisfy doing something. So
those two or three spaces, would that just be for the fire department?
Right now, of the two or three spaces, one could possibly be for both. But the other two would be just the fire department, and we would lean probably more towards taking down the existing police station, moving it more, taking out the big section of steps, moving it closer to Main Street, and having an access which would be ADA compliant on the side or both sides and in the back, which would enable us to have more room. That is big enough for a police station where it is now. It's just configured as a post office and with storage in the basement. It wasn't designed for that. So it just needs to be looked at, and we feel confident we can do that. But we would like to have them together because we could save upwards of $1 million by having them together. But if you can't do it, then we would save money on us already owning the police station. That's why, if you notice in the news, that we've taken steps to go ahead and have the mural. We're going to have it removed and relocated with the help of Steve Graves and Mr. McKinney. And right now we're in the middle of that process trying to find a place to do that and also have a permanent location.
Again, we're on the front page today. Our guest is Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent, and we'll speak to the mayor some more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
We're back on Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Again, our guest is Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. And I think, Mayor Trent, as we spoke last time, there's been some discussion regarding possible annexation around the 801 interchange at I-64 because this is a growing area. It has the potential for a lot of businesses, and they might need, say, liquor by the drink out there. It would also help with police and fire protection.
Utilities.
Right. Has the discussion gone any further?
No, we've had phone calls from concerned citizens on both sides of the issue from that area. They've called me, and I think they've gotten in touch with some of the city council, but it was brought up last meeting, and we've not gone any further with that. But that doesn't mean that it won't be brought up in future meetings. As of, I can say unequivocally right now, we have no plans in place to do that. Are there discussions? There are always discussions, but there's not a plan to do that at this time. Could that change? It could, but I just want people in that area to know that's not something that we have a definitive plan right now.
Other things you're working on?
Other things we're working on. I mean, you've got things like that come up unexpectedly. Obviously, one of the big issues as we're dealing with now is the heroin issue and other things we have to deal with that. And again, continuing to, my priority as mayor, and I think I can speak for the majority of city council, is, our priority is what we just talked about. We got to upgrade our safety. Something like annexation, that for that particular area, is going to come down way down the list as far as what we would like to do. But it's definitely something we can look at. We think it could benefit everybody, but it is not a priority at this time, and there's not a plan in place. You just have to constantly be able to prioritize, and with the heroin situation we had last week, we're trying to concentrate our efforts on that and do what we have to do to educate and keep our citizens and our first responders as safe as we can.
You mentioned the heroin issue that the area is dealing with, and it's not just Moorhead and Rowan County. It's all over eastern Kentucky and state of Kentucky, Ohio. It's a problem that's growing all over this region of the country. And, of course, there was the public forum on that earlier this week at the Moorhead Conference Center to discuss maybe some ideas, some possible solutions. But it's a problem, obviously, when you talk about it's stuff that's killing people, destroying families, destroying livelihoods, just ruining communities, and it's something that has to be dealt with, doesn't it?
It does. It is a public health issue. It is a public health issue that has to be dealt with. Public health, public safety, whatever you want to say. It's something that, you know, we knew that there was going to be the influx of this type of drug with the way they're lacing it now. And what people have to understand is Dave Myrus, who is our one of our DEA, he's been with the KSP, and he's been in the drug enforcement game for many, many years, and he's a valuable resource. He spoke the other night, and, of course, he has came to us and spoke to us a few months ago, letting us know that this particular additive that they're cutting it with, fentanyl and even worse, carfentanil, which are synthetic opiates that are basically animal tranquilizers. And the carfentanil, which is the stronger of the two, is at what they call the elephant tranquilizer. It's 1,000 times stronger than morphine. In other words, they call it an animal tranquilizer because it's not made for, not meant at all for human consumption, not any dose of it. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to economics. A lot of it comes down to areas which they use it. For example, it used to be the OxyContin, oxycodone were the big things. And through some legislation, some tougher laws, that has kind of gone. It's still the number one drug of choice around our area, but it's not as much as it used to be. Heroin's kind of sneaking into the game, and there's two reasons for that. Number one, oxycodone is a little bit more expensive, and they made it harder to crush, harder to ingest, harder to do that, and also tougher laws. As an example, from what we've heard, a typical 80-milligram oxycodone, OxyContin pill will run on the street anywhere from $60 to $100 for one, okay? So let's average that out to 80. Let's just do that just for this discussion. And in big cities, you can get what they call a cap of heroin, which is a tenth of an ounce, okay? You can get that for $9 in big cities. Now, they come from Cincinnati, they come from Louisville, they come from Huntington, other areas, come to Moorhead where they can up the profit margin a little bit, talking about dealers, and the price right now on the street around Moorhead in our area is $40. So let's just say you can spend $80 on an OxyContin pill, or you can spend $80 and get two hits of heroin. So the problem is, though, the reason the heroin is cheaper, even at $40, is the fact that they're cutting it with a synthetic opioid, and you're only getting, you know, just a quarter of heroin. And here's the thing. Heroin's measured in grams, okay? The fentanyl and the carfentanil is measured in micrograms. So in other words, you can't eyeball it, okay? You can't look at it and say, okay, like you're putting together a cake. Micrograms are just impossible unless you have the sophisticated equipment to do it. And keep in mind, we're not talking about master's-level chemists here that are mixing this. These are folks who are mixing it together and no telling what conditions.
They're just hoping to make a profit.
They're just hoping to make a profit. They don't care how it is. So bad, once the dealers realized it was killing people, in the larger cities we have found out that they are providing Narcan to the users. So here, I want to sell you some heroin. Here's just some Narcan just in case the dose is a little bit too strong. So, you know, that's what folks have to remember. And I spoke the other day in the forum, which was great. Almost 300 people. We had 30 panelists. And what I spoke to them was this. You know, you take this drug now. Heroin is either going to kill you instantly with the fentanyl, carfentanil, literally stop your heart instantly, or it's going to kill you slowly. It's your choice. You're going to die either way if you don't get off of it. So what we have to do is tell folks how dangerous it is. You have to work with your families. You have to be alert, and you have to be vigilant in what's going on. We call all of our folks. They can do it. One other thing I want to say before I forget is St. Clair Medical Center has been so gracious. They provide Narcan to our police officers and our first responders free, the spray, at their cost. And that helps us. But let me tell you, I know for a fact that saved three lives, no question. Last week, because just that one decision they made, our police officers were the first on the scene, and they were able to revive one person who was clinically dead, was revived. So I want to thank St. Clair for that. But it's something that we have to do, Chuck. It's a community problem. It's going to take a community effort to get it taken care of.
Mr. Mayor, always good to talk to you. We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Mayor Jim Tom Trent here on the front page. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. See you next time.
Thank you.